I suspect most of us will have noticed a week or two ago that perhaps the mood and the themes and the things that church was looking at changed a bit. If you go back to the end of last year, we had Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Passion, the Resurrection, the Ascension and Pentecost. And to some extent, the thinking of the church was almost directed. If a preacher had come along and talked about Easter on Christmas Day, I think it would have sounded a little bit odd. But now we've gone into another part, and I think you're going to be less ready for what may come. The Church of England calls all the Sundays now forever, well, almost, it seems, Sundays after Trinity. We, of course, do better and call them ordinary Sundays. So you make of that what you like. Sometimes, of course, preachers will use the set lessons. Maybe some of you, of course, have been wondering why this preacher chose those ones. Or I think sometimes preachers might just feel, well, we can go off and we can do some other things and be open to inspiration. So just notice that sort of change of mood and be ready perhaps for wider spread until Advent comes again and gets hold of us and says, now, this is the rail your train is to go along. I thought, well, I would risk looking at the three lessons that some wise scholar somewhere has decided would fit this particular Sunday. There's one that we haven't read, but you will find it, should you ever want to look at it, in what we call the letter of Paul to the Galatians, people in Galatia. And it's a very tempestuous letter. It's one of a number of letters in the New Testament. Not all of them were written by the Apostle Paul. Some of them are very sort of professional, professor-like, and they're very heavy with their theology. Others deal with local issue, and some addressed even to particular issues. If you get your Bible out, some of them go to individuals as well. What a contrast, should you ever look at the letter to the Galatians that we're going to look at for a moment, and the one that follows to the Ephesians. The second one is like a prophecy. It's like a professional statement of Christian belief. Whereas if you look at Galatians, well, you look at chapter 3 if you want to later on, it's the Apostle Paul, and he's getting in a bit of a state, and he's not very happy, and wants to lay the law down and deal with some issues that have arisen in these very early days of the church. Now, the problem that arose in the church of Galatia was that there was a tension between two particular groups. Some of the people who'd become Christian already had a great experience of the Jewish, the Israeli faith, however, whatever you want to call it. And it had, if you like, slipped over and taken in something more about this Jesus. But there were others with no background like that who'd heard the story of Jesus, the Jesus who gave his life on the cross, and they had come in. And it seemed that there was a sort of tension developing between those who said, oh, no, that's not enough. You've got to come and pick up, if you like, in a funny way, all the laws and rules of the Old Testament. You've got to keep them, as well as hanging on to the wonder of what Jesus has done for you. Interesting, of course, that Paul had to try and deal with this. And Paul knew both camps only too well. You probably couldn't have found a better person keeping all the old laws than the Apostle Paul. But one day, to his great shock, Jesus had encountered him, and he realized in one sense, well, he didn't want to abandon all that, but it was Jesus and what Jesus had done and what Jesus was doing that really mattered now. So we have this tension between following the rules or just accepting Jesus and what he has done. And Paul wanted to make very, very clear he didn't want to see the church getting divided up. He wanted the church to be together, to be one place. And he tried to make the argument there. I don't think he wanted to stop those who, you know, had grown up in the discipline of the law, but he wanted to say there is more, there's a wider thing as well. And it's odd sometimes that we can pick up things from long ago and realize that even in the church of today, we have got various tensions. Sometimes, one of the things that's around if people feel they ought to be Christian, they feel they've got to do something, in a sense, to sort of lift them up to be good enough for God. You know, we don't like this idea of somebody giving us something for nothing, either we feel there's a catch in it, or we feel we're sort of being, you know, treated like beggars or something like that. And so we can still have that sort of tension. I'm not saying within the church, but in the wider community, who say, oh, if you want me to be a Christian, you know, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to pass this and I've got to pass that. And the idea, no, you haven't. Jesus has done it all. It's there for you to take. And people may find that very, very hard indeed. But I think Paul is trying to stress us in this, what might be rather strange letter, how the real thing, the deep thing that matters of all, is that to come into God the Father, Jesus has done all that is needed. He's paid all the price. He's opened all the door. He's cleared up the way. We just come and say, here I am. Can I be part of this salvation, this new life, this wonderful experience? And it's interesting that we have, as church, this very special part of worship we call the Lord's Supper. And there, perhaps, it's there. We don't bring anything. We come with empty hands and we come to receive. But, of course, when we're dispatched from that, it isn't going back to what we were. It's to a new sort of life. And I think if you want to sort of look at Paul getting a bit steamed up, then that part of Galatians, and particularly chapter 3, will do a lot of good. Let me put up on the screen, just from Galatians chapter 3, one particular verse. It is through faith that all of you are God's children in union with Christ Jesus. There's the strength, the point about faith. But also the word all and union. There's something meant to be Christians together. And it does seem to me at times churches of our generation aren't always feeling quite like that. We have our different denominations. We have different styles of worship. We hear about high church and low church. And particularly, I think at the moment, if I'm right in what I'm reading and hearing, there is quite an issue in the church about, well, what should marriage really be about? And can it incorporate anybody? There's something like that. So in fact, I offer you that from the Bible reading we didn't have, but there it is. The apostle is trying to say to us something about what being the church is. We've come in by faith, but we need to be all of us and in union. And that perhaps is easier said sometimes than done. So then we have that particular reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. It comes, so the scholars tell us, from towards the end of very near the end of that particular piece. And he seems to think, well, the scholars seem to think this was not the original prophet who, you know, we know quite well in a sense. This is where the people from exile have got themselves back home. And, well, perhaps they've cooled down a bit. They've started getting a bit easy about things. And the prophet feels that these people need to be reminded of what has happened, the rescue that they've had, and they mustn't sort of sit back now and say, oh, well, it's all happened and we can really do what we like. So we'll pick out now, because I picked out from each of these readings one verse. You may find an awful lot of stuff. In case anyone's looking, by the way, I've been using the Good News Bible. It's, dare I say, a little bit more intelligible at times, but then I won't get into another division within the church. And this struck me very hard. This is the expression that was there. The Lord said, I was ready to answer my people's prayers, but they didn't pray. And that sort of hit me rather hard, I thought, here were people not really sort of taking God as seriously as they might. I mean, haven't all of us at times felt, if not offended, felt a bit hurt when somebody walked past us as if we weren't there? We don't sometimes seem to count quite so much. And here is this prophet, particularly in the wording of the Good News Bible, sort of rather surprisingly say, rather than God getting into a strop about it, God is sort of feeling rather offended. The Lord said, I was ready to answer my people's prayers, and they didn't pray. And it seemed to me what I was going to pick up most of that, there's again an awful lot that is quite complex, was a need, in fact, to have a think again about our prayer life. It's possible for all of us, I suppose, if we look back, oh gosh, I was doing that a little bit more, wasn't I, away behind. And now, well, I've sort of not quite so much time and I don't put quite so much effort into it. And maybe this particular slightly surprising word from the Lord might just be a challenge to us. Is there not a request here that we review the life that we give to prayer? It happens in so many ways. Sometimes it's just we are on our own talking with the Lord. Sometimes that it's along the way. Something happens. You know, we're out in the streets and you see something disastrous and we think, I'd better make a prayer about that. I remember that lovely minister of ours who died a little while back, Michael Meach, saying, people get all stropped up, don't they, if they have to sit at, you think about Ashton and its level crossings. We think, get all sort of worked up about it. And he said, well, one way to do it is just do a little bit of praying for people. I've never quite forgotten that, something that we need to do. Sometimes we'll pray in rather small groups. Sometimes churches have what they call specifically prayer meetings. Every service, as this one will have a time for intercession and prayer. And sometimes the praying isn't very, very easy. Maybe at times it has to be planned and at other times to be spontaneous. But maybe it's a good time just to have a little think again about how our praying is. And could God be saying, well, you haven't come and talked to me? And not so much a punishment, almost as though we've created a little bit of hurt, and that's not quite so good. So, what about sharing our prayers? Prayers with the people sitting next to us, praying along in different ways. There are all sorts of ways, perhaps, in which prayer can be practiced. So, from that reading and a bit of Isaiah that you weren't probably going to think about very much, I think there's that very poignant word and challenging us about will we take prayer a little more seriously and not leave God sort of saying, well, when on earth are you going to talk to me? When are you going to listen as well? And then we had that reading from Luke chapter 8, which you, of course, will find in other of the Gospels as well. And if I pick up the text I pulled out there, at the very end of that episode, the person who had been cured, much to his shock, I mean, I found this man. I want to be here with this Jesus. I want to stay with him. And he said, you know, go on, go back home and tell what God has done for you. And it seemed to me there that, well, it's a very, very strange story and we can't make an awful lot of sense out of it. Didn't seem to value pigs very much and didn't seem to bother very much people. That stampede and all the loss and the rest of it, and probably the way they tried to diagnose what was wrong with the poor chap as well. And in one sense, I'm not quite sure that I want to get too tied up in that, because we live in a very different environment and with very different things to that we know. But I wonder sometimes, is there that risk that when we leave worship, ah, well, that's my duty done for this Sunday. I can get on with life now until I come back next Sunday to the sort of the narrowness where people are and what we're expected to be as Christians. And another side of it, I think, is where people might say, well, I just want to be very holy. I want everything to be there with Jesus. I want to be in church as much as I can and sharing in experience and testimony and prayer. And could it just be, if I almost sort of push it a little bit, where God wants to say, now come on, get up and get out of here, go and do things out there in the realities of life. In one sense, I'm not saying stop coming to church. I think I would get into a lot of trouble if I tried that. But church, the worship which is so important, the fellowship, the learning, the togetherness that is here, mustn't be the end of it. It's got then to break out. We've got to take it and go away from it and do church, as it were, although it may not be something we want to make it very obvious that we're doing. Go and do church in love and service out beyond. I wonder sometimes if Jesus is telling us, now, it's not over when the last thing is said or even we've enjoyed our drink and had a good gossip. Go home and do my work there, out in the ordinariness, the happiness, the sadness, the mess of life. So, make what you will of the Bible readings that some genius put together for us. But as I say, I was very struck by the three verses. We'll put them up there just for you to have a final look at. It is through faith that all of you are God's children in union with Christ Jesus. The door is open. Jesus says, come. I've done all that's needed. There's nothing for you to bring. And then we've got to have this togetherness, this idea of all. And I think perhaps churches struggle with that at times. The Lord said, I was ready to answer my people's prayers, but they did not pray. Perhaps all of us could be challenged just from that, even if we haven't got time to go into the rest of the verses that we read. Do we create disappointment in the heart of our wonderful, loving God because we don't give him the prayer time, either pouring it out, shouting our praise, or just shutting up and listening? And then the final words that so disappointed that cured man who thought, you know, I now can be with Jesus all the time, which of course we can, rather different from his situation, but a reminder that we must be careful we don't wrap our Christianity up in church and it's not out there. Go back home and tell what God has done for you. Amen.